Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
I read this and I was quite shocked, and we needed to talk about it today. During the pandemic, there was actually a surge in calls to Men's Aid, the charity that is the only dedicated national service supporting men and their families experiencing domestic violence and coercive control. Now, their CEO, Katrina Bentley, joins me in studio to explain that, like violence towards women, this is widespread across all ages, backgrounds, and it's a problem we need to talk about. They have actually answered the phone to farmers, to businessmen, to travellers, to men with disabilities, trans men, and even a member of An Garda Síochána. Katrina, good morning. You're very welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks a million for having us.
It's lovely to meet you. Did the surge in calls, did that take you by surprise?
I don't think it took us by surprise. I think we were, as soon as lockdown happened, we immediately knew that there was going to be an impact on the family home, and that impact would be on mum and dad and the children and grandparents as well. So I think those of us in the sector, it wasn't a shock. But what was great, I suppose, is that we all rallied around and came forward to answer those calls and to continue as much as possible with face to face and that support. So disappointing, but I suppose at least we were there. You know what I mean?
It's so important to talk about it. Now, you said off air, you were quite excited and a little nervous to come on because Men's Aid hasn't been on the national airwaves in...
It was our first time in RTE, actually, on radio.
So, and again, a big day.
It's a big day for the lads. And I suppose what I've seen on my phone since, you know, getting the notification yesterday that we'd be here, huge amount of support, Facebook, Instagram, DMs, text messages. It hasn't stopped.
Good.
And even got beeped at a neighbour beeped me out this morning. Oh, knew really? Where I was going, you know.
So best of luck.
So really great support and really from you know, to help the vulnerable victim, you know, regardless of gender. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about the support. What facilities do you have to cope with the volume of calls that especially that you've got over the last 18 months?
Yeah. So last year we supported about 5,000 to 5,500 contacts to the service. And this year we think it's going to hit around 8,000. Our team is tiny. So last year with lockdown, there's only two of us full time and there's five part time. And then... So a part-time office manager. So we're a thin team, but we're very passionate. And we're very committed, and we've all supported women and children, and men and children, and all genders over the years. So, we're a small team, and we just got together and just sorted it out really quickly. Laptops, phones. We had to work from home. For some emergency cases, we did have to meet some victims. So
you're dealing with calls about violence, coercive control. So people who work for Men's Aid full-time, part-time, is there a background in psychology or therapy or
predominantly
counseling?
social work, youth justice. I suppose there's a retired member of An Garda Síochána with us as well. So that's child protection, his background. And then counselling, psychotherapy, homelessness, suicide ideation and mental health. So that would be kind of most of our backgrounds. And an amazing team, really at the forefront, I suppose, truly in the trenches. We probably supported, you know, at the time about 20 calls, up to 20 calls a day, and disclosures. A lot of the time for last year was perhaps because the media and government and An Garda Síochána very much kicked in with the hashtag the Still Here campaign. It actually gave confidence and encouragement to the man to pick up the phone. So some of the disclosures would be, you know, he's been experiencing it for not just 6 months or 6 years. Some of it was 10 and 20 and 30 years of violence, emotional, psychological, financial, economic, as well as sexual and physical violence as well. So for those calls, some of those men called back a few times. It wouldn't just be the one call, and we'd encourage that because we appreciate so much that actually for the man to come forward to pick up that phone, the first thing they need to hear is validation that we believe them, we get it, we understand it. There's nothing we haven't heard before. And whichever service we think is the best for you, domestic violence ourselves, sometimes it's a mum, a sister, a brother, or a dad. We took calls from children living across Europe wondering, you know, hearing that dad wasn't great at home, could we kick in? We'd kick in with An Garda Síochána, request a welfare check. we'd actually started doing safety plans with dads in their 50s, 60s and 70s because their daughter and son was contacting us from France and Spain. Mm. Grandparents here in Ireland with grown children in America and no longer seeing the grandkids on Skype, trying to educate the son in the States, maybe what is coercive control. So that kind of where granny and granddad are no longer seeing the grandkids on Skype. So it was really a mix of everything. And I suppose what's important to get across is we've heard it all. Like there's nothing we haven't heard. We totally understand how difficult it is. And that validation from day one can really help start that man who's speaking to us. Our clients are from 18 to 88. So whoever's on the phone, that we're there to support them on their journey, whatever that is for them. So whether it's counselling and safety and getting out, you know, moving out and new accommodation, etc. If there's children involved, if there's violence, if it's legal orders, access, custody, etc.
All the support is there.
All that support is there.
I mentioned earlier, because I was mentioned to Conor Bean before you walked in, that you know, you were going to be here. And he said, I wonder what percentage are people from the gay community.
Yeah.
But I mentioned in the introduction there, it's men from all walks of life, which is important to mention.
Yeah.
Men are slow to come forward and admit that this is happening. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, I think it's a man first and foremost is fear of not being believed. I think it's fear of being ridiculed and being laughed at. There's stigma in Ireland. This issue is a nasty issue for all genders. There's a lot of shame. There's embarrassment. Perhaps he might have already tried to speak to somebody and got told, sure, you're 6'4" and she's 5 foot nothing, go away with you. Do you know what I mean? So, and if they've been met with anything like that, they'll just close back up. Men are meant to be masculine and macho. They're not meant to cry. They're not meant to show feelings. This is how they've been reared. So for them to come forward and show vulnerability, it is a huge step. And you mentioned there, 94% of our callers would be in relationships with females, but 6% roughly would be LGBT plus. We have gay men in relationships with other men, and men transitioning. So some of our clients a year ago and 2 years ago were men, and they're transitioning into women, and we've actually gone that journey with them, and actually them confront, you know, speaking to their family to say, I'm going to transition. There's been a lot of violence there, both from partner and maybe adult children as well. It's the dynamics of coercive control and domestic violence is so complex and so broad. But what's really important is that we focus on the person, the human in front of us, and we support them through that journey.
Often with these cases from the outside, everything looks fine. Can you tell us about the man who chooses to live in a tent rather than go home?
Yeah. So we have a man in a tent. We have a few men in some vans. We have a man living in a shed. The gentleman in the tent, there's a few of them. He has a nice big family home, big gates. He has built houses for his children on the land. The kids have gone through university. The kids are married. There's grandchildren also locally, you know, on the land. And he contacted us. It was pure coercive control, really, for 35, 40 years plus. And because there's grandkids in the home, or he doesn't want to fuse the situation or make it any more difficult. Addiction has kicked in during COVID as well. And so what he's done in order to remove the toxic environment in the home, he's calling us from his tent. And I suppose we then link in with our partners, you know, whether it's Peter McVerry Trust, Focus Ireland, Simon Community, etc., to see and we help with the HAP and all that paperwork as well. Mm. Because ideally we're heading into winter now, and we're heading into Christmas of 2021, and vulnerable male victims and their children still don't have accommodation in Ireland. There's no refuge yet. There still isn't enough for our women and children nationally, but there's actually no accommodation for men. So when they ring us, they're kind of at the end of hope. They're hanging on, you know what I mean? So, but again, we will work closely with all the NGOs and the other stakeholders to try and help them. But we get those calls weekly, Jennifer, in terms of I'm not in the home. During COVID, there was a lot more of that because they couldn't go onto their parents' sofa or into the spare rooms, or they couldn't bunk in with a mate or a brother or sister because of that lockdown. What's happening now with lockdown and restrictions lifting, there's actually the volume of contacts is increasing. So we're really preparing at this moment for Christmas, for November, December and January. We got a little bit of extra funding to increase our helpline and increase our outreach just for these 3 months. That funding will finish in the second week of February. But like, we're still going to need, really, there's more calls coming through because people have come back into their workplace. So for a lot of people, when home wasn't safe, their workplace was safe. So we had a lovely man earlier in the year, and he's in a gay relationship, and his work friend spotted that he didn't look great. You know, he looked a bit dishevelled, he wasn't himself, he looked tired, you know, the way he was dressing and stuff. And she just said to him one day at the coffee, "Are you okay?" And he went, "Oh, no, are you okay? What's going on?" And he said, "Things aren't great at home." And then he broke down on his coffee break with his workmate, and she handed him our helpline number. And he's been with us for the last number of months, and we've been getting him a safety plan, and he's got out of the relationship and he's safe, which is number one. And he'll start counselling with us as well. So the work family, especially as people have returned, just to pass out those helpline numbers, if it's Women's Aid, Dublin Rape Crisis, any of the homeless. We work very closely with the Samaritans and Pieta House and that. So it's really just to be aware of the person beside you mightn't actually have that happy, clappy, you know, family behind the front door. So just check in on each other.
And know that number.
And know the numbers and just pass them out because we're at the end of the phone line, you know what I mean?
And you're professionals and you know what to do. Here. You talk about safety plans. Yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but that first step of asking, are you okay, is a huge step. It must be so rewarding, Katrina, but a harrowing job at times. I know you said you're doing this particular job for 2 years, but particularly when people are suicidal. I know you've had to deal with those calls in the past, and they must be extremely difficult for you guys as well.
Unfortunately for us, a Monday is our busy day for suicide ideation, and that's because our service is only Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 at the moment, and we're hoping to now ramp that up, especially for November, December and January. So last November, for example, we had 622 contacts in 1 month, in the month of November and December.
Huge.
So, and on one Monday, we actually had 3 suicide ideations back to back. So we obviously had to step down that member of staff for her own safety as well and her own mental health, but also we have our own protocols as to what we do to get that man to safety. So we, you know,
do you get a lot of siblings, parents, family members contacting you worried about someone? What do you do in that instance, because they haven't come to you? So
well, GDPR, first and foremost, the vulnerable victim is the person that needs to make contact with us for us to engage and help them. But mums and sisters, because we're brilliant, and I'm a sister myself, and we're brilliant, they're brilliant to seek out the information, the websites, what to look at. So we have fact sheets and things like that we will share with the family, you know, or whoever rings us, we can pop them on an email. It's around what is coercive control, what is domestic violence, what are the options around access guardianship, so we can share any of that. What do I need to do around a safety plan? So we will answer any of the questions and give out the information. But obviously, ideally, and obviously for GDPR, we need the victim to come forward, you know.
You've seen a rise in different cultures coming to you for help where violence is considered the norm, is that right?
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of cultures out there and other countries where, you know, hitting children is normal, both mum and dad. And on one of the calls, there was a lady actually admitted to us that, you know, she said, I'm living here in Ireland, I need to now remember that I can't hit my child. So, and that to us is absolutely shocking, but in their culture, it's very different. So we would work a lot with the schools and with teachers who are seeing this in the classroom. So we have a number, we've two clients right now, they're 18, they're coming to us in their school uniform because the state only recognises them as an adult. So they don't get a social worker or TUSLA, etc. But we have children in school uniforms because there's abuse in the home. And thankfully their teacher drove them to an appointment. Yeah. And their mum and dad are not Irish, so but in their country they've come from, they've grown up
with that culture.
They've grown up with that violence.
You saw, I mean, the workload for you guys with the statistics and the number of calls and the fact that you're predicting now 8,000, like it's phenomenal the work that you do. I'm just going to give out the Men's Aid National Helpline, 01-554-3811. If any man out there needs to, or anybody that identifies a man and needs to call that number, what happens first when they make that call?
Firstly is it takes a lot of courage, so we listen first and foremost, and validation is number one.
Yeah.
And every case is different, and I suppose we will help signpost them. And if they need to come in for a one-to-one, for face-to-face, for, you know, and if they're comfortable with that. One man that we helped early of 2020 last year, he actually stayed with our service because he didn't have to show his face. So lockdown for him, because it was all done by phone and we got him to safety, he stayed in our service and he'd actually written his suicide note to take his life. But we kept in touch by text and phone, and he said to us when we got him to safety, and he's now started a new life, a new chapter, he's only in his early 50s, he said he wouldn't have come forward if he had to initially come face to face. So we're there for by telephone. We can do Zooms and texts, and we're happy to do face to face now as well.
If you want.
And we're also now we're in Dolphin House, which is the family law court, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And our outreach now will extend through Monaghan and Cavan now. And we're looking forward to the new year. A private donor came forward to help us.
And helping more and more people.
Help us a little bit more, yeah.
Katrina Bentley, you're doing phenomenal work. You and your colleagues, thank you so much for being with us today. And if you want to get more information or help or whatever, please, please, please visit www.mensaid.ie. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.